titled my message is Keep Digging. I want to look at some people that went through a wilderness experience. Who understands that in Christianity you will go through a wilderness? No one's exempt. You will go through a wilderness. Some people handle the wilderness well, and they get that more of God, which is designed. The wilderness is actually designed. I shouldn't say designed, but it's actually made available to us to get the more of God. For you and I to press in. For you and I to go to another facet or another level in Him that we have not yet experienced, because we've never had to have that need to experience, because we haven't gone through what we've gone through. And it doesn't mean that God purposely puts you through things to get something out of you. But He allows things in your life, your circumstances, situation, He will utilize them, circumstances and situations, to mature you, to grow you, to make things happen in your life, to bring forth that gift or that goal that He's placed within you to even a greater extent or level, to mature you. Amen. Hallelujah. Turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 7:25. I think I've got some slides up there. In fact, my whole message is up there. Next week, we have a guest speaker called Mr. Lance Erickson. He travels extensively around the world, mainly in Norway, Scandinavia, prophetic ministry. I actually thought he was here today. So I went to a party yesterday thinking someone else was speaking this morning. Then I get a text message, which I usually do anyway. I get a text of order of service, and my name was up there. And I went, okay. So this is fresh. Amen. This is fresh manna. Acts 7:25 says this: For he, Moses, supposed that his brethren would have understood that God would deliver them into his hand, but they did not understand. Three men we will talk about this morning will be Moses, it will be Isaac, and it will be Jacob. All three men experienced the wilderness. Two of them grew in their wilderness, in fact, multiplied what God had placed in their hands, and they brought forth fruitfulness. One didn't. One was stuck until a burning bush came. He was stuck. A captain of thousands was Moses. And all of a sudden, from a prince to a pauper overnight, 40 years serving Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest, for 40 years. Yet in 40 years, it never said that he owned cattle, never said he owned sheep. After 40 years, it still said that he was around the Mount Horeb, and he was still looking after, at the backside of a wilderness, still looking after his father-in-law's sheep. There was no growth of prosperity or fruitfulness in Moses' life. Moses got stuck. Moses got stuck mainly because of what was coming out of his own mouth. Yet Isaac flourished. Isaac flourished in the wilderness. Abraham flourished in the wilderness. There can be two attitudes that what we can take into the wilderness. We can circumvent what God wants to do in our lives by what's coming out of our own mouth. Or we can embrace what's happening and see fruitfulness by the power of God and His Spirit to come forth even greater than where I am. The wilderness is not there to break you. The wilderness is there to make you. Amen? Next one, please. Turn with me to the book of Exodus, chapter 3. 3:1-12. Exodus 3:1-12. Says this: Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. The word desert means desolation. No growth. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire in the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Verse 3, then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. And when the Lord saw he had turned aside to look, the Lord had to observe something first. Hear me, the Lord is always looking and trying to observe something in your life first. God called him in the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses, and he said, here I am. Even though Moses was in a place really of discouragement and despair, in a place of negativity, and his tongue had changed what it should be speaking of, which is the purpose of the promise of God, because he believed God, he had already been given a promise of God, thinking that the people would understand that he was going to help them be delivered. They did not understand. And sometimes when you get misunderstood, anyone ever been misunderstood? You get misunderstood, sometimes discouragement gets around your soul. And your tongue starts to speak things it shouldn't speak. Can I hear a little encouragement this morning? And amen. Verse 5, then he drew near this place, and take off your sandals, the Lord said to him. Take the sandals off your feet, for this place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of faith, hope, and love. Literally, you can place that in every situation, and when you say their names, that's what it'll mean. Abraham, faith. Isaac, son of promise, hope. Jacob, coming to Israel, love. He loved Jacob to become an Israel. Amen. Jacob, liar, cheat, supplanter. Israel, beloved of God. He will love you into it. But you have to keep walking by faith. And you still have to have purpose, and you still have to have promise and vision. Can I hear an amen? Faith, hope, and love. I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, generational God. He's not just your God. He's your child's God. Amen. And he's your children's children's God. You've got to see him as a generational God. Challenge, footnote, hint. What are you leaving behind for the next generation? What testimony am I leaving behind for my next generation? Will they be able to call on him as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of David, the God of Matilda, the God of Kenny, the God of Chrissy, the God of Johnny? Who are they going to call on? Where will they run to? Who will they run to? That's why it does my heart good when I see these young people, these kids standing here, singing, worshiping God. Amen? It tells me what something's happening in their homes. Something's been established at their house. Glory to God. Verse 7. Then God said, surely I have seen. God sees. I'm trying to bring comfort to your soul this morning. God sees what you go through. Does he rescue you every time he sees? No. Not all the time. Sometimes, the word that Moses had to learn was this, and in the process of time. Sometimes time has to have its own process, and it will allow you to go through your situations, your struggles, your birthing of new things, or whatever you have to go through, or stay where like Moses was, in a place of hopelessness, despair, aggravation, anger, whatever he was going through, because he was hard done by. You can stay there until something changes in you and I, and it's a little thing called your mouth. Your mouth. I have seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, which is the world, and have heard their cry. I've heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know. That one verse, I've seen. I've heard. And he knows. I've seen. I've heard, and I ain't stupid. I know. He knows. How much does he know? All things. So I have come down to deliver them out of the land of the Egyptians, out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them what? He's come down to bring you where? He's come down, read the verse. He's come down to do what? To bring you up. Jesus came down to lift you. Father came down to lift them up. God doesn't want to keep you down. He has a purpose for your life to come up. Amen. Come up in your thinking. Come up in your faith. Come up in your love. He wants you to come up. John was invited to come up here to hear a greater revelation. God wants to bring you up to a new place to listen and to be able to hear new things. He wants you up. But sometimes the way up, you have to first go down. Come up here. Verse 8, verse 9. Therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I've also seen the oppression which the Egyptians have done. So he's heard and seen. Verse 10, come now, therefore, for I will send you. Come now, I will send you. Here's the challenge. When you have a wrong mindset, when you are stuck in your now situation, in your now wilderness, you will not see that God wants to use you. He wants to use you. God knew exactly where Moses was. God knew exactly Moses' name. He knew the moment he had to see him. He knew where he was. He knew his name. And he met him where he was at. Your God and my God will meet me where I'm at, regardless of my circumstance or my wilderness experience, because he wants to use you. He wants to use you. You and I are not here just to suck air, just to eat, then go away and go back to glory. He wants to use you in this hour to bring glory to his name. Somewhere, somehow, God has purpose for your life and a plan for your life, and he wants you to fulfill that which he has placed within you. It is not your idea. It is not just a good idea. It's not just a something that you've conjured up. It is an innate thing that God has placed within you that you will need to fulfill, because there will be an ache in you until it is. But what he can't afford to, you and I to do, is sit like Moses sat, not bear fruit in my wilderness, and moan and complain why he was in the situation he was in. He wants you and I to get up and use the wilderness and be fruitful in my wilderness. That means even if I have to dig a new well. And we'll talk about him in a minute. He wants to use you and I to bring forth fruitfulness in the wilderness, because the world and the people in the world cannot do that. But you have something within you that has power, and something within you that has resurrection life, called the Spirit of the living God, that can bring life out of death. Amen. Fruitfulness out of barrenness. Hope out of hopelessness. Your God has the capacity to change your situation suddenly. Amen? What I've got to learn to do is change this and change this. Amen? You're as quiet as church mice. Amen? Hallelujah. Verse 12. He said, certainly I will be with you. He didn't tell him he was going to give him a gift. He didn't tell him he was going to be a prophet. He didn't tell him he was going to be an apostle. All he said to him was this: I'll be with you. If you're born again here this morning, you have God with you. I'll take it a step further. You have God in you. Therefore, my reliance is not on my capacities, abilities, or whatever he's given me, giftings. My ability, my capacity is him, that he is with me. That's it. Because he's my all in all. He has to be my everything. He's my source. My gifting is not my source. He is my source. Amen? Glory to God. The Lord saw. The Lord heard. The Lord spoke. So when the Lord had spoke to Moses, Moses was in his now place. It's amazing in that whole chapter of chapter 3. You'll read the word, no, it's verse 1, now Moses. Now I will go up. He was in his now place. All right? That had become, he became passive, unproductive. His mouth was his greatest critic. After 40 years in a backside of a desert, he was not productive in anything he had done. He was still caring for the sheep of Jethro. Yeah, if you look at, like, unlike Jacob served his father-in-law for 20 years in total, 14 years for two wives, 6 more years after that. But he left with more than his father-in-law had. And his father-in-law, Laban, got jealous. But fruitfulness followed him because something had changed in his thinking. Something he had declared out of his mouth. He believed in this God of his father, Abraham and Isaac. Jacob was being transformed to the Israel. Isaac left Gerar, went down to Egypt. God stops him. He walks out of Egypt richer than he went. He was fruitful in his barrenness. He was fruitful in a desert situation. Both these men can teach us something that we can do to bring fruitfulness out of barrenness. Who wants that? Who wants the more of God? Because if I have a Moses attitude, I get stuck waiting for a burning bush experience instead of taking the bull by the horns and walking out what God has said. Too many Christians are waiting for a sign to happen. My Bible says in Isaiah, you are the sign. You are the wonder. You don't have to wait for one. Become the one. Amen? Jacob, who served for 14 years in the desert. Genesis 26:1. And like Isaiah, who had made a mistake and left the well of Beer-la-roi. Beer-la-roi means the well of him that lives and sees, the well of the living God. He left the presence. He left where his thirst was quenched. And he went down to Egypt. The Lord stops him in a place called Gerar. And he reminded him of the promises that God had made to Abraham and Isaac. He reminded him. Gerar means this, pilgrimage, combat, dispute, a lodging place on the border in between two places, faith and famine. It's a pivot. Do I keep going down to what I know, the world, and its ways and its systems, or do I stand by faith? Do I stand by faith? Sometimes it's hard to stand by. When you've got nothing, it can be hard to stand by faith. I remember when I was going around Australia as a 22-year-old young man, 24 actually, 24-year-old young man, we coasted into the one-mile jetty at Carnarvon. Ran out of petrol, actually coasted down the hill. Ran out of petrol. Four transit van. My two kids had the food. I got down to the beetroot juice and the rice. After a week of that, I got hungry. So I was on this fast that I didn't call for. For a week. Every night I'd leave my van and walk the one-mile jetty. It's 1 mile, literally 1 mile long. 1.6 kilometers. 3,500 steps. Crying to God. My mate that was with me went out fishing. No baits, because we didn't have any. He ate it. Chucked in his line, caught 40 dartfish. You know what dartfish is? Looks like a big angel fish. Him and his missus were enjoying their fish. Give us some. I vomited. Couldn't eat it. Too strong. My wife's belly's full. Mine's empty. Started crying. I said, God, please, please help me. I can eat a bit of shark, but I can't eat this fish. Next morning, there was a shark on my bonnet. A shark. One of these little sharks. Well, about this long. The girls cooked it. I hurriedly ate it. After I finished, I said, God, I don't want to tempt you, but I love another one. Next morning, there was another shark on my bonnet. And he showed me something. He sees, he hears, and he knows. And from that day forward, I've never, ever had to worry about provision. I did not want to experience that. And I certainly didn't want my children to experience that. But in the midst of the experience, you get this indelible knowing in your spirit that He is God. Amen. So Moses really had camped in a place of pain, in a place of rejection. Isaac came to a place of Bella Roy, and then he went down to Egypt. God stops him in between the place of famine and faith, and he begins to sow in this land, and he starts to prosper. In fact, he didn't just prosper. The increase on his produce was 100-fold. 100-fold. In a desert, he was getting 100-fold return. Attitude. What's coming out of your mouth? The king, Abimelech at that time, got so concerned, he had to have a meeting with him. We'll eat that right out. He had to have a meeting with him and say, we know God is with you. This man worshipped sun gods. But he knew something about Isaac. Something was happening with Isaac in the midst of a famine, in the midst of a desert. God was blessing him. God was blessing him. And it scared him. He says, please leave our country, for you are greater than us. One man was greater than the whole army. You're greater than us. Please leave. Abraham had dug some wells. Isaac started digging the wells. Isaac began to dig some wells. I want to tell you something. Isaac began digging Abraham's wells. But every time he dug Abraham's well, he was stopped. You can't afford to live on yesterday's water. And more so this. It's good to feed your children water, the word, but eventually you have to teach them to get water for themselves. They cannot live on what I get. They've got to come to that place of revelation and intimacy at the water, revelation and intimacy with the Lord for themselves. That means sometimes they will not drink the same water as you drink. My son does not preach like me. My son doesn't see Scripture like I see Scripture. Neither does my daughter. They found their own well. And that's good. Amen? They don't have to be like me. And I don't have to be like them. But what I do want to see them do is dig their own well. Hallelujah. Stop by Gezer, the pilgrimage, hundredfold in Genesis 26, 12 to 14. The people envied him. The king asked him to leave, and he began to dig the wells of his father. The first well was called Esk. In Genesis 26, 30 to 33, Esk. Next slide, please. It means strife. The first well means strife. Where there is spiritual progress, there will always be resistance from the enemy. The minute you step out, expect resistance. Amen? Where there's envy, it soon leads to strife. And if one camps and contends with it, it leads to division. The root of strife and the root of division is a thing called pride. Amen? Isaac moved on. There was contention at the well. Isaac did not throw a hissy fit, did not say, "This is mine, this is my dad's, you've got no right to this." He just moved on. Was he thirsty? Yes. But he realized the well was not his source. God is his source. And when God is your source, you can move on. Amen? You don't have to camp in a place called strife. You can move on. He moved on. He refused to get caught up in the strife, even though the well was significant to him. He had rights to this well. Dear Lord Jesus, help me with this one. You hear Christians, "But it's my right." May I say this, beloved of God, as a Christian, as a true follower, you've abdicated your rights. You belong to Him. You've been bought with a price. You're not your own. He'll give you the right to choose. But the right to do, you better ask the boss. He had the claim, the rights. We would not camp around strife and envy. But he kept on moving. He was learning the well is not your source. What you have in your hands is not your source. He is my source. Everything you have is from Him. Everything. Genesis 26, 21. The second one is called Sitnah. Second well. They dug another well and they quarreled over that one. And he called it Sitnah. Sitnah means one that lies in wait, adversary. Enemy, opponent, opposer, prosecutor, enmity, accusation, strife, hatred. It's the feminine word of Satan. The feminine name of Satan. Which means adversary. The most important thing as a Christian is this. Walk in love and forgive. Walk in love and forgive. When you forgive, when you truly forgive, the recipient benefits, but the forgiver gets set free. Forgiveness helps the recipient, but the one who forgives is set free. Amen? And what the enemy wants you to do is camp around that well. Stay there, because it's your rights. Your dad dug that well. You have rights. You have rights to feel the way you feel. You have rights to think the way you think. You think we've got rights. Well, forget your rights. Move on. Just move on. Amen? Two places of contention. He could have drawn from the old well. He realized he had to find his water himself. Revelation and intimacy. He had to find water for himself. Amen? He had to keep on moving. He kept on moving across the border and dug another one called Rehoboth. Rehoboth. his father hadn't dug this well. Rehoboth, wide place, broad place, no contention. Anyone want to live in a place of happiness, joy, and peace without contention? Oh, two of us. Well done, bro. Me and you are going well. Oh, you too. Hands up, anyone wants that? Wide place means place without restriction. Life of content. Doesn't matter what's happening around me. I can be content and joyous. Rehoboth. He moved from there and dug another well and he did not quarrel over it and he called it Rehoboth because he said, for the Lord has now made room for us. Anyone want God to make room for you? He made room for us and we shall be fruitful in the land. See what he's speaking? He's just dug the well, but he's already speaking fruitfulness. What's coming out of my mouth? He moves again, not just content with fruitfulness. Isaac wants the more. Anyone want more? Sometimes we camp around fruitfulness, but God wants you to even have more. He moves to a place called Bathsheba or Beersheba, well of an oath, well of promise. He wanted to walk what God had promised him. Do you know you have promises of God, which are yes and amen? Do you know God doesn't want you to just experience fruitfulness? He wants you to experience his promises. He just doesn't want to bless you. He can't help but bless you. He loves you. But he wants you to walk in the very promises of God. God has given you specific words, whether prophetic or through the word. He's given you specific promises. And he wants you to live in them, what he's declared for you. Doesn't matter what the land is saying. It will be fruitful. Amen? Genesis 26 says this, he built an altar there. Isaac built an altar there. He built an altar at this place called Beersheba, the well, place of the oath, the place where he made Abimelech, him and Abimelech made an oath between each other, there would be peace. He made an oath. He built an altar there. Notice it wasn't upon the fruitfulness. He didn't do it at Rehoboth. He did it at Beersheba. But too many of us build our altar at Rehoboth. We thank God for all the blessedness he's done. We thank God for everything else he's done. Instead of being anchored upon the promises of God, which are what? Yes and amen. Fruit comes in seasons. Probably the greatest area of lack of fruit in my life is probably the road. When I'm driving, sometimes I get a pip and a little bit of, but not often do I bear fruit. But I am working on it. Praise the Lord. We won't go there, but sometimes I go to the well of me being right. Anyone ever done that on the road? You're right, they're wrong. Eh? And so you got to teach them a lesson? Oh, of course you don't. It's just me. Eh? Anyway, praise God. We all have seasons of that. But in the midst of that season, he still expects me to bear fruit. He still wants me to overcome. I'm not excusing myself. I need to bear fruit in that. I need to overcome. I need to have an attitude change. And above all, I need to zip my lip. Amen. My wife is wonderful. As soon as I start, this finger goes across my lips. Zip the lip. You want to do that? You do that by yourself, but don't pollute my ears. Hallelujah. God had to deal somehow to get Isaac this more. He's a God of Abraham, faith, Isaac, promise and hope, Jacob, love. God challenged him about what was coming out of his mouth. This is Moses. He had to learn to redig his own well. You know, you and I have to keep redigging our well. I can't keep contending over old things. I must redig my well. I must get at that place of refreshing, that place of intimacy again with him, no matter what the cost. Moses eventually redug his well and stepped out, I believe, in discomfort to face his Pharaoh. Amen. Here's another thing with Pharaohs. They don't go away. You do have to face them in the right attitude of life. Knowing God's placed something in your hand. That he is with you. Hallelujah. And though thousands of people, well, he had millions, didn't agree with him, he kept going on. Maybe God's speaking to you this morning that you might have to redig a well. Don't camp around fruitfulness. Don't camp around your yesterday. Don't camp around what someone else has done. Find your own spring. Amen. And then the toil of doing it. Initially, there is no reward. Not until you hit the water. You just got to stand upon the promise. Hallelujah. Moses was promised a land, a promised land, a promised land. He had to go in seven nations. Do the last slide for me. He had to, if you want to possess land, your land, I'm not talking about physical land. If you want to possess this land, this land up here. These are the seven nations that he had to go against. The Canaanites. They're the dwellers of the lowlands. Carnal thinking. How is my thinking? The Hittites. Brokenness, fear, dismay, terror, and dread. You will have to face your fears. The Amorites, they're the highland dwellers. Speaks of pride, self-exaltation. I don't need anyone. I don't need that. I'm okay. The book of Proverbs says this, a man who isolates himself is after his own gain. It's pride. The Amorites, highland dwellers. The Perizzites. Speaks of shame. People who have limited vision have suffered from low self-esteem. It's an enemy of your soul. God wants to remove shame. There is no shame in God. The Hivites, a tent dweller, without restraint living, a lifestyle that is lived out in conflict with the kingdom of God. Doing what you think you want to do, doing it, regardless of what the Word of God says. Living without restraint. The Jebusites, to put people down, humiliate them and make them feel small, to trample, to put your under your foot on their necks, which is arrogance and pride. Self-exaltation. They were the seven enemies of Israel to go into the promised land. They're still the same enemies to possess your soul. And every one of us, and I don't care who they are, they can call themselves the apostle of the apostles of the apostle of the apostle. He will still have to fight them. No one is exempt. And the biggest issue is this. Israel did not overcome them. They learned to live with some of them. And what happened was, they didn't possess the land. Amen? Is God saying to me, dig a fresh well? Let's stand this morning. Dig a fresh well. And the wonder of it all is this. No matter how big the battle is, or how strong my enemy seems, or how big the problem really is, he knows my name, he knows where I am, and he'll do exactly what he wants to do at the time he wants to do it. And this is what Moses had to lean on. God is enough. Surely I will be with you. Amen. Surely I will be with you. Stop camping around the sitmas. Stop camping around the other wells that we shouldn't be around. Move on. Put your rights down. Move on. Husbands and wives, put your rights down. Move on. Stop stamping your feet. Just move on. And God will vindicate the truth. God never vindicates a personality. Only the truth. Couldn't give a hoot about your personality. He'll vindicate truth. And I'm going to jump. I might really cloud your thinking now. Even if they're not saved. If they're speaking truth, he'll vindicate that truth. Hallelujah. Every eye closed, every head bowed this morning. Is there a fresh well you need to dig? Have you left the well of Beer Leroy, presence of the Lord? He wants to give you that much more. That much more. He wants you to walk in the promises of God, which are yes and amen. Now I'm going to get really personal here. A lot of times there's estrangement in households because of what's coming out of people's mouths. What's coming out of my mouth? Hallelujah. If you want that more of God this morning, if you truly want to possess your land, you just lift your hands before the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ. It's not about fault. It's not about blame. It's not about, it's really about being truthful before him. I'll lift my hand as well. Father, you hear us this morning. God, you're the God of faith, hope, and love. We ask you, Father, grant people fresh vision this morning. Write upon the tablets of their heart afresh, fresh vision. God, you're the God of new beginnings. Cause that new beginning to be birthed in their spirit right now in Jesus' name. Lord, we let go of the former things, them old wells, those rites in the name of Jesus. And Father, today is a day of new beginnings, and we thank you, Lord, that we're moving on. Like Isaac moved on, we move on. We move on. We move on. And Father, you strengthen our hands to dig that new well. Lord, anchored upon the promises of God. We thank you, Father, that we experience your fruitfulness. And you'll bring increase into our life. But God, that is not the reason. Our reason is to fulfill your purpose. We thank you in the name of Jesus. We receive it by faith this morning. The change in exchange by the power of God. And we thank you for our families this morning in the name of Jesus. We're going to lift them up every time to you, Father. And we decree like Joshua decreed, yet for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord in the name of Jesus. I don't look at their face. I don't hear them with my ear. Lord, I only hear what you say. And you see as you see. And God, above all, I know that you are more than enough in that situation. We give you the praise and glory and the thanks. And we give you the honor in the mighty name of Jesus. And all of God's people said, amen. Praise the Lord. He's a good God who does good things. Amen. And he's got great things for you ahead. In Jesus' name. Please stay for a cup of tea and a cup of coffee, some fellowship. That would be wonderful.